Stabs are midterms. We're all still here. Thank God. Some people survived. Others did not. I'm not really going to shoot on the midterm stuff so much today. I'll say one thing. I'm really surprised that the people who vote for people like Ted Cruz are still voting for people like Ted Cruz. He just seems so, like, I don't know, dumb. Maybe I just don't know. You know, maybe I don't know. But he just seems dumb. But whatever, who cares? Today, I want to talk about the Misfits. They are my favorite band. I got Legacy of Brutality playing today, which is just a collection of, when it came out, it was a collection of some unreleased recording sessions, and 7-inches and stuff, like American Nightmare and Who Killed Marilyn appear on here, Halloween appears on here, a good chunk of Static Age stuff appears on here. So it you know, it's a little bit of everything. Not their more aggressive stuff like Earth AD and like Walk Among Us, but it's got some shit on there. You know, if you're a Misfits fan, it's a good disc. I'm a Misfits fan. Now that being said, I kind of want to discuss today. My take inversion in how the Misfits affect me. This is strictly my opinion, the way I've seen things and how I've come up. I was born in 1984. I'm 34 years old. I wasn't even alive when the original Misfits were around. Plain and simple. Okay. When I got into the Misfits, I was in, I think it was in 7th grade, so I would have been about 11, 12 years old, and it was right around the time that, like, the internet was, becoming more accessible. We had America Online, you could download, like, little clips of music from America Online. You know, and they had a few Misfits clips up there that I remember hearing. We Are 138, and stuff like that. It was, you know, I mean, there was nobody to really tell me the difference between the new Misfits and the old Misfits and this and that and everything else. Okay, it had to be learned. Now it's different. Now you just kind of Google it or Facebook it or whatever the fuck. And everything's right there, and all you got to do is just, you know, follow the breadcrumbs, if you will. You know, at that time, when I first kind of found out about them, it was right around the same time that the new Misfits were getting going. They put out American Psycho. That came out about 97 on Geffen. Records. It was done by Daniel Ray, I think. He produced it, but it was and he's a little bit of Ramones fam. He worked with the Ramones a lot and their people. But for the most part, that was kind of like when they were getting going. They got their shit together in like 94, 95. That's when they were kind of like a for real thing. They were happening. They were touring. They had to put a record out and they were supporting it. I think, as the tale is told, like, their first comeback was at, like, Coney Island High, like, 95 or 96, something like that, and it was, or both, I don't know, I mean, I'm driving right now, so I can't fucking look it up to tell you, but... When I found out about them, that's where they were. That's what was going on for them. That being said, I bought my first collection of Misfits CDs when I was about 12. I remember going and, like, mowing my grandparents' yard, getting cash money, they had a maybe like a Sam Goody or something like that across from their neighborhood in St. Matthews. And I went over there, and I remember I bought American Psycho, and I cannot remember for the life of me which collection I bought, but it was either Collection 1 or Collection 2. And it was I didn't know the difference between. I didn't know there was a difference, you know. So I'm learning, you know. I'm listening and I'm learning, and you know, after a little bit, I figure it out. There's a difference. There's the old stuff and the new stuff, old singer and new singer. And when I was working on, you know, when I was listening to this stuff, like I connected. I understood. You know, the first song I ever heard of theirs, I remember being confused. You know, because I didn't know. But I remember the first song of theirs that I heard was We Are 138. That was the very first Misfits song that I think Return of the Fly was the second one. So when I listened, when I first put on American Psycho and listened to it, I didn't understand. I was like, "What? Well, like, this is totally different than what I was listening to. Did I get the wrong shit?" But when I looked at the two CDs that I had and realized the logos are the same, then I, you know, once that happened, I figured out, I was like, all right, well, maybe it was something else. Figured out, did a little research, asked some older, you know, some older people, got the skinny. I remember getting the skinny from a friend of mine's, like, older sister, who is real into the Misfits and Danzig and stuff. It was weird in a strange way. Her name was Melanie. She, in a strange way, she turned me on to the Misfits even more, and Danzig even more, with the mystique that she created about them, you know. And being, you know, like a 12-year-old boy and having, like, a, I don't know, she's probably 4 or 5, maybe 6 years older than me, having an older girl talking to you about some shit, you know, regardless of who it is, you know, talking to you about some shit, you know, it creates an air of mystery, which further, you know, gets you in. So, after I figured out the difference, I remember that Christmas of that year, I got the box set with the metal enamel pin in it, and the booklet with the liner notes done by Erie Vaughn, and read the history. Then I, you know, started getting, you know, all right, I read the history. Now I see what's up. All right, I'm understanding a little bit more now. You know, the original Misfits started in 77, broke up in 83, put out, you know, a handful of records. They didn't really explain that Danzig, or, you know, what happened afterwards. They just explained more, you know, they broke up in 83. Last show was in Detroit. I have read out there, and it helped getting connected with MisfitsCentral.com when the internet was coming around. That helped fill in a lot of the gaps of different things. You know, that helps fill in a lot of, you know, a lot of those, you know, who is this, what is that, and how does it all play together? So, all that being said, I got the box set, and I started listening to it from front to back. That's when I was exposed to the entire catalog of the original Misfits. That's when I learned that, you know, all the different stuff, and I remember on the box set, you get Collection 1, Collection 2, Walk Among Us, Earth AD, Static Age, and basically, like, I think it was like Disc 1 was, like, if I remember correctly, it was like Collection 1. Disc 2 is like Collection 2, kind of, or, well, shit, I have to look at the track list, but it was, like disc one was like collection one, disc two was like collection two. Disc three had a bunch of like various recording sessions on it that weren't released. And I think it, you know, were some other ones, you know, alternate recordings of things and stuff like that. Disc four had like, I think disc three had Earth AD on it too, and disc four had Static Age. Something along those lines. Forgive me for not having my homework right in front of me, because if I would be doing that, you know, we'd be driving very safely. Gotta drive safely out here. Don't, you're crazy. Anyway, so that being said, I got into it heavy. And I was still listening to American Psycho, and I was listening to it just as much as I was listening to the old stuff. Which made, you know, scoot over here. Trailers on this side. Which made for a stark contrast, because like the new stuff or hate it, it is different than the original Misfit stuff. It's a different setup, different style. It's different, you know. You may still have the whoa whoa woes and the monsters and the demons and stuff like that, but at the same time, it's still, you know, it's louder, it's more polished, it's more, you know. But it was good to me. I enjoyed it. I know a lot of the purists out there fucking hate it, but I enjoyed it. And as I grew on, getting more and more into the Misfits. Evil Eye was in the box set. I think that was on disc two, maybe. I'll have to look at the track list. Maybe throw that track list in the description so people need to look at it. They can just give them a reference point. Wow. I think I've seen it all. Just past this truck on 65. These dogs are literally standing on what appears to be the seat of a four-wheeler or something in the back of some dude's truck. And they're like level with the top bed of the truck. So basically, a good hard bump or jerk and somebody's dog's going to be hitting the freeway. That's sad. Like he was towing a shed and we just put him in a shed or whatever the chicken shack was in the back of his truck. Anyway, so, you know, as time's wearing in, they put out Famous Monsters on Roadrunner. Still with the same lineup: Dr. Chud, Michael Graves, Doyle, and Jerry, his new Misfits. I continue to dive more and more into the Misfits and Glenn Danzig's career. It's not until probably like when I'm like 14, 15, that I'm really getting into Samhain. But it is definitely, that happens later. I get heavy into Danzig, kind of, not simultaneously, but I'm aware of who Danzig is at the time. Now, I'm filling all this in for you because I'm going to make an argument here in a minute that a lot of people are going to be a little bit shitty about. But it's important that you still hear it anyway. So basically, the new Misfits, you know, it's like 99, 2000, they put out Famous Monsters. They put out Cuts from the Crypt, which was like B-sides and demos and stuff. It actually had some cool shit on it. It kind of had like the original Dr. Fives Rises Again from the Christ the Conqueror days. Not the original Christ the Conqueror recording, but the original way the song was played on Christ the Conqueror. They made another recording of it and actually made a song out of it, instead of just using that intro like they did. But it was cool. They put out Evil Eye 2. I remember they reinvigorated the Fiend Club. I remember I joined the Fiend Club. You were getting newsletters, you know, once a month, you know, or once every couple months. Shit was going on. You know, shit was going on. I remember I went and saw him at Bogart's. I will say this, Michael Graves, when I saw him at Bogart's, was terrible live. I've seen a lot of videos where he's not that great live. I don't understand why his voice doesn't transfer from the studio to the stage very well, but you know, now I have heard some of his acoustic stuff that's not too terrible, but for the most part, like the live stuff, I heavy distortion, which was weird. But the cool thing was is that, you know, I remember the first time I met Jerry Only, I had the American Psycho t-shirt, you know, like, you know, glowed in the dark and all that shit. And he fucking signed it. I mean, he Jerry Only is just one of the nicest dudes out there. I don't care who the fuck, I don't care if you like him or hate him. He would stay out there forever and sign autographs. You know? Forever. Anyway, that being said, I'm going to use that phrase a lot until it's annoying. But basically, you know, you get to that area, it's like 99, 2000. You get to, you know, where they kick Michael Graves out of the band, Chud leaves, and like a bunch of shit goes down, and like, you know, they have like a little rotating cast, like Mike Hideous, Empire Hideous, which I never really listened to, jumped in there for a minute, and some other people did and stuff, and it, you know, it was, you know, they still kept together, making it happen, but what I'm getting at here is that during this period that the New Misfits started and up until that New Misfits lineup with Michael Graves and Dr. Chud broke up, and I know it's probably sacrilege to be talking New Misfits while I'm listening to Old Misfits, but it's important for the argument and the discussion that they, in that span of time, tried to pull a Kiss Army and reinvigorate the Fiend Club and start getting shit out there again, start mass producing t-shirts, lunch boxes, and before you know it, from 95 and from 95 until like the late 90s, early 2000s, you had a boom in merchandise from them. Okay, not just from Jerry and Doyle, their side of the New Misfits, but you also had an uptick in Misfits merchandise from Glenn Danzig's people, I'm sure, too. And now, like I said, I'm not sitting in front of anything where I can give you actual stats or anything like that, but what I can tell you is by the time the 2000s hit, you were able to find Misfits t-shirts almost anywhere, whereas in 95, maybe not so much. You know, maybe they were just a seminal hardcore band, whatever, doing whatever they were doing, but what I'm getting at is they were ramping it up, and you were able to find, you know, you were able to find these, you know, these, this shit just about anywhere, and they were sticking the Crimson Ghost on everything. Now, I understand that people out there hate the New Misfits. They don't like Michael Graves. They don't like Dr. Chud. They don't like the idea of it. You better pull over there, guy. State trooper's gonna bust your ass, homie. But they don't, you know, they don't like it. For whatever reason. Okay? I understand. I got it. I understand. Totally get it. Hate them or love them, they would not be as popular as they are today if it wasn't for Jerry Only doing what he did with the New Misfits. He took that fucking band in whatever form it was, you know, with Doyle, without Doyle, the all-star lineup with like Marky Ramone and Dez Cadena and Robo and like all this. There was even talk before Joey and Dee Dee Ramone died that they were going to go out and do shows with him and shit. Joey did do a couple shows with him, I think, before he died, when they started doing that. There's a few recordings out there of them doing shows together. But what I'm getting at is, one, he did that for a lot of the younger punk kids out there that were like my age, who were getting into these bands, and they were too old, they were too young to actually ever see him. So he was keeping it alive for us to get into, you know, dragging the Ramones around still in the early 2000s. You know, and I think, you know, that helped contribute to getting some of those re-releases of Ramones records, because there was people getting re-interested in it. A whole new young generation was being introduced to it, and Jerry Only was helping out with that. He wasn't spearheading it, but he was definitely contributing to it. But the Crimson Ghost and the Misfits name would not be where it is today had the New Misfits not existed. club doing this shit. The new Misfits. Go to Spain and do like Greece, Germany, Russia, Australia, Canada, Mexico, United States. I mean, all over the place. I'm pretty sure Jerry Only's had the new Misfits on every continent except for Antarctica. I bet you there's a fucking money to be made up there. He'd hit it up. But he's a nice guy. And I see what he's doing. I get it. I understand. I totally understand. You know, I would do the same thing if I could. If I had that kind of, you know, I don't know what to call it, business sense or whatever. But I would if I could. You know, if I had a band like that, I probably would. But that being said, here we are in 2018. Okay? The Misfits, the reformed Misfits, have been doing shows for a few years now. Glenn started doing shit with Doyle back in like 2000 and like 7 or 8 maybe. Something like that. And I remember I saw him, this was like around when he put out like Circle of Snakes, I think, or before that. But I saw him, they're out here hustling today. State police, hustling. But I remember I saw him around that time. And then like I think a few weeks later, he went and did some shit with Doyle in Philadelphia. I think that was the first time they did it. And I saw shows, you know, where he did stuff with Doyle. They were great. Energy was fucking incredible. You know, it's still pretty cool. The first one I saw him do it with, I think it was like Beavin Davies playing drums. And then the second one was Johnny Kelly. I don't remember who the third one was. I don't know. But anyway, now they're doing the reform thing. They're selling out shows, crazy numbers, crazy amounts. They're playing arenas, you know, and they are super mega fucking popular. And I don't think they would be that way today if it wasn't for Jerry Only. I don't think we would get half of what we're getting right now. I don't really believe there would be a reason for them to even have reunion stuff going on. Had Jerry Only not reformed the Misfits. My understanding that the Misfits stuff, the reforming of the Misfits stuff came about over some kind of a business dispute, and it was used to settle the dispute. I may be totally wrong. That's just what I heard. That's the rumor. One of the rumors. Now, they never come right out and said, here's why we're doing it, but they managed to pull their shit together. And, you know, so maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal, and it would be more of like a warp tour act kind of thing, you know, or it'd be like a, you know, maybe like a main stage Riot Fest thing, but not so much the way it was. I don't know, but honestly, they wouldn't be where they are without that extra push from the new Misfits. Much people hate them. They still put out some cool shit, put out some cool stuff. But I don't think they would be where they are without that push. for the purists out there, I totally understand, man. I totally get it. You know, new versus old. I totally get it. It's like that a lot of times. Everybody has, you know, their favorite version of Black Flag. Everybody has their favorite, you know, their favorite version of the Ramones. You know. For the people out there who are open-minded, you know, and dig both, hey, good for you. Good for you. You know, I almost wish I had a little new Misfits in the car to play so we could have some contrast here for it. But I don't, so it's, I mean, it's all right. I'll deal. But, you know, for the time being, what I will say is that enjoy it, no matter what, new or old. It's still there to be appreciated. And just because you're a purist doesn't mean the new stuff can't be good too. It might be good. You know, those first couple records are actually pretty good. My opinion. opinion. You know? They're not bad. That little 1950s thing he did. Yeah, that was all right. That's some decent stuff on there. You know, the stuff after that, like Devil's Reign and like, you know, I haven't really listened to that. I don't really give that stuff a listen. Excuse me, but I'm sure it's got its place. Down the highway, the sign has three inverted eyes. But, give it a chance. Give it a shot. Check it out. Who knows? Who knows? You know? Who fucking knows? You could, like, you don't have to, but you could. You might. You never know. But much you want to hate it, we wouldn't be the Misfits and not be where they are today. You know, I'm sure Glenn hates it probably more than anybody. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm sure he probably at least has one ill hair about the whole thing. The fact that Jerry Only's new Misfits creates a demand and helps drive sales of his merchandise to the Misfits as well. Now, Glenn did not go as deep into the merchandising as Jerry did, but he still did. And I'm sure that helps resonate into his other merchandising as well. So, since we've gone through the whole Legacy Brutality and we finally got ourselves over to the beginning of the big boys, frat cars, we're going to wrap it up today. That's my take on the Misfits. I like them. I like the Misfits old. I like them new. I don't like them as like the new Misfits, like with just Jerry and whoever else. They're not as bad. I've seen them live. They're not bad, but they don't compare to Glenn or Glenn and Doyle or the original Reform Misfits. So hopefully it all works out for everybody and everybody gets to win. That's the idea, I hope. If not, whatever. Fuck it. Who cares? You know, it's not our business. Glenn's not going to tell us anything. I'm just hoping that he doesn't drop a lawsuit on me for talking about the Misfits so much on a podcast. You guys stay crazy. Everybody, do your thing. Be careful out there. I'll see you again.